Okay, before I go on to hell.
Før jeg fortsætter med helvede.
Before I go to hell.
Før jeg tager til helvede.
I just want to emphasize that last point.
Jeg vil gerne lige lægge vægt på det sidste punkt.
Ephesians 1:3.
Efeserne 1:3.
God has blessed us.
Gud har velsignet os.
It's past tense.
Det er datid.
It's been done. It's finished.
Det er gjort. Det er sket.
He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing.
Han har velsignet os med hver eneste åndelige velsignelse.
In the heavenly realms.
I de himmelske.
In the first heaven.
I den første himmel.
God gives us everything we need to overcome the enemy of our soul.
Og Gud giver os alt for at overvinde vores sjæls fjende.
The world, the flesh, and the devil.
Verden, kødet og djævlen.
He's given us everything we need in life to not just succeed, but he promises us life in excess, in fullness, overflowing.
Og i livet har han lovet os alt, ikke kun til at få succes, men til i succes i overflod.
So that when we are thriving with life in Christ,
så når vi er fyldt af liv i Kristus,
we have more life to give to others that need it.
Så har vi mere liv til at give til andre, der har behov for det.
Every spiritual blessing in this heavenly realm he gives us. He has given us.
Hver eneste åndelige velsignelse i den her himmel har han givet os.
But every spiritual blessing in this realm, to bind, to loose, to win, to break.
Men også enhver åndelig velsignelse i den her i den anden himmel, altså at binde, at løsne, at bryde.
To bind up the broken hearted, to set the captives free.
At binde de brudte hjerter, at sætte de fangne fri.
Bring sight back to the blind.
At bringe syn tilbage til de blinde.
And all those other things.
Og alle de andre ting.
To defeat the enemy here.
At bekæmpe, vinde over.
But what a lot of Christians never get hold of.
Men det mange kristne aldrig forstår.
The invitation there is from God to come up here on a regular basis.
Invitationen der er fra Gud til at komme herop på en
We read the scriptures that God invites us to come into the throne room.
Vi læste i skriften at Gud han inviterer os ind i tronrummet.
Very few Christians go there.
Mange få kristne, meget få kristne.
How do I know that?
Hvordan ved jeg det?
Because when I talk about it, people look at me as if I'm speaking a different language.
Fordi når jeg taler om det, så kigger mennesker på mig, som om jeg taler andet sprog.
To come into the presence of God, to bask, to sunbathe.
At komme ind i Guds nærvær, at bare bade sig i solen.
To know that peace.
At vide det, kende den fred.
To see the world and life from this point, not from this point.
At se verden og livet fra dette punkt og ikke fra det andet, ikke fra herfra.
To know the matter what's happening to me here on earth when I go up there and I look down in the light of His love, it's meaningless.
At se hvad der sker mod mig her på jorden, når man kommer op og ser det i lyset af Hans kærlighed, så er det meningsløst.
That's why David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because You are with me.
Det var derfor David han kunne skrive, om jeg end vandrede gennem dødsskyggens dal, så frygter jeg intet ondt, for Du er med mig.
Because he saw life. Whenever it got difficult on earth, he came up here and got the right perspective.
Fordi han fik det rigtige perspektiv. Han kom op og fik det hele fra Guds perspektiv.
And we need more of that in our lives.
Og vi har brug for mere af det i vores liv.
But that takes spiritual disciplines.
Men det her kræver åndelig disciplin.
God, Jesus has bought us the right and made the path.
Jesus han har købt os rettigheden og lavet vejen.
We can boldly come before God's throne with confidence, the Bible says.
Vi kan boldt komme ind for Gud i Guds trone.
But very few actually go there.
Meget få gør det.
Paul was caught up into the third heaven. We know he went there.
Vi ved Paulus han kom derop, for der står at han blev rejst til den tredje himmel.
I regularly go there.
Jeg går der jævnligt.
I learned the disciplines as a teenager.
Jeg lærte det som teenager.
And I've continued with them.
Og jeg fortsat med det.
And love them.
Og elsker det.
And they are awesome.
Og det er fantastisk.
When this world is darkness all around me, I go to the kingdom of light.
Når denne verden er mørk omkring mig, så går jeg til lyset.
And like Moses did when he spent 40 days with God on a mountain, he comes down and in the dark world he shone the light of God.
Og så Moses når i en mørk verden han tog op på bjerget og var der i 40 dage med Gud og kom ned og lyste.
As the Gospel of John tells us, the men love darkness more than light.
Og som Johannes evangeliet siger, så elsker mennesket mørket mere end lyset.
But we are not of that world anymore. We love light more than darkness.
Men vi er ikke af den verden mere. Vi elsker lyset mere end mørket.
And the darkness cannot put it out.
Og mørket kan ikke slukke det.
We are to be light. We are to shine.
Vi er lyset. Vi er dem, der skal skinne.
And at the times in our lives, we feel at our darkness. darkest.
Og der er de tidspunkter i vores liv, hvor vi føler det er sortest.
We go up there and see light.
Så går vi derop og ser
lys. And we bring that light back with us.
Og vi bringer det lys med os.
That all hell could be breaking out around us, but we have the love and the peace of God that passes understanding in our hearts.
Helvede kan bryde løs omkring os, men vi har lyset og kærligheden fra Gud i vores hjerter.
That amazes unsaved people.
Det forbavser ikke frelste.
That we got to get.
Det er vi nødt til at få.
That God gives us freely.
Det har Gud givet os frit.
It's wonderful.
Det er fantastisk.
That's why we are salt and light. We shine in this dark world.
Vi er salt og lys. Vi lyser.
But we can only shine when we get to the source and bring it back.
Men vi kan rent faktisk kun lyse, når vi kommer til kilden og tager det med tilbage.
But that's another subject.
Men det her er emne.
How do we get that light?
Hvordan får vi det lys?
That's what we're doing in our church's leadership ministry training nights every month.
Det gør vi i vores kirkes ledertjeneste.
We've opened that to everybody. If anybody want to come.
Og vi åbner det for alle, så hvis nogen har lyst til at komme.
We start in a new session, how to keep the fire and walk in the anointing of God.
Vi har startet et nyt tema, der hedder, hvordan du bevarer ilden og vandrer i Guds salvelse.
It's once a month on a Wednesday night from 7:30 till 9 up in Impact Church.
Det er en onsdag i måneden fra 7:30 til 9.
At first we were just doing it for our own leaders, but realized we want everybody to come and get this teaching.
Vi startede egentlig med at gøre det for vores egne ledere, men vi har indset, at vi ønsker, at faktisk alle skal få tage.
It's free.
Det er gratis.
And you're all welcome to come.
Og I er alle sammen velkommen til at komme.
The next one is, it's every 4 weeks.
Det er hver fjerde uge.
Rather than once a month.
Mere end en gang om måneden.
So the next one is, I think, the 4th of, no, is this, this isn't my phone.
That's my phone.
That you
is,
have it?
That is iPhone.
I think it's is either the 2nd or the 4th of November, the next one.
Det tror du det.
October. Yes, tak. Onsdag den 4.
Onsdag den 4. 4.
7:30 Impact Church. You're all very welcome.
7:30.
So that's this one. I hope you got this now, because I need to rub it off when we're going to start going to hell.
Jeg håber I alle sammen har tegnet det her op, fordi nu vi skal ud og Wayne skal til helvede.
Okay. Say goodbye to heaven. You're on your way to hell now.
Sig farvel til himlen, nu vi bare til helvede. Speak for yourself, man.
So on your diagram, okay, I'm going to move up now. So we have this.
So nu bevæger vi os på jeres diagram, så bevæger vi opad. Så
you know, there was the heavens and so on.
Vi tager lige op fra.
So now we're going to go down.
Nu går vi nedad fra den nederste linje på diagrammet.
In the Council of Nicene in the 3rd century AD after Christ.
Take that one again.
At the Council of Nicene.
I kirkemødet i Nicene.
828 or 848 bishops met.
Var der 830 eller 40 biskopper der mødtes?
And they hammered out the doctrines of our faith, the fundamentals of our faith that we have today.
Og de satte doktrinen for vores tro på papir, som
there was so much, so many false gospels and false teachings going around the church.
Der var så meget falsk undervisning i kirken rundt omkring.
That all the bishops met and decided on a creed, on the doctrine, on the fundamentals of our faith.
At de her biskopper, de mødtes og blev enige om doktrin, altså grundlaget for vores kirke, vores tro.
And they made this statement that there's two types of theology.
Og de kom til konklusion, der findes to typer, eller de kom med en statement, der hedder, der er to typer teologi.
Open theology.
Åben teologi.
And closed theology.
Og lukket teologi.
Very simple.
Det er meget enkelt.
Open theology is this.
Åben teologi er dette.
The belief in that theology can be debated.
Tro på den teologi kan debatteres.
Because the Bible is not 100% clear on that subject.
Fordi Bibelen ikke er 100% klar på det her emne.
For example. Jesus is coming again.
Jesus kommer tilbage.
That's one of their closed theologies.
Det er et lukket teologisk punkt.
A closed theology is a theology that the Bible is very clear about. It cannot be debated. It's 100% what God what is right.
En lukket teologi er noget, som er Bibelen er meget, meget tydelig omkring. Det er ikke noget, der kan debatteres. Det er bare sådan, det er, for det siger Bibelen.
Because the Bible teaches it, it's closed.
Fordi Bibelen underviser om det, så er det lukket.
It cannot be changed because God doesn't change his mind.
Det kan ikke ændres, fordi Gud ændrer sig ikke.
All through the Bible we read of warnings, don't add to the word of God, don't take away to the of the word of God.
Igennem hele Bibelen der læser vi om advarsler, lad være med at lægge noget til at tage noget fra Guds ord.
And so on and so you understand, closed theology.
I forstår hvad jeg mener, lukket teologi.
Jesus coming again is closed theology.
At Jesus kommer tilbage er lukket teologi.
It's a fact.
Det er et faktum.
You can't debate it.
Det kan ikke debatteres.
Much of the state church doesn't believe it anymore.
En stor del af statskirken.
They've thrown out their inheritance.
Tror ikke på det her længere. De har smidt deres arv ud.
But it's closed theology.
Men det er ikke lukket teologi.
How he's coming again?
Hvordan han kommer tilbage?
Is open theology.
Er åben teologi.
And there are four different theological theories as to how he's going to come again and when.
Og der er fire teologiske teser om hvordan han kommer tilbage og hvornår.
And that can be debated by scripture.
Og det kan debatteres igennem.
We won't really know until it happens.
Vi kommer ikke til at vide det før.
Who's right and who's wrong?
Hvem har ret og hvem har fejl?
That's open.
Det er åben.
But the fact he's coming is closed.
Men faktum at han kommer, det er lukket.
And one of the closed theologies is hell.
Og en af de lukkede teologier er
the exist about what I'm going to give you now.
Det jeg kommer til at give jer nu.
But many sections of the church are wandering away from this closed theology today.
Mange dele af kirken vandrer væk fra den her lukkede teologi i de her dage.
In Denmark there's the rising of an ugly old theology called a doctrine called universalism.
I Danmark lige nu er der en grim teologi der er på fremgang som hedder universalisme.
That God won't send anybody to hell, everybody will go to heaven.
Universal. Ja. Alles
falsch, ja. Something like that. It's not biblical.
Det er ikke bibelsk.
Back in the Council of Nicene, this was the statement given about hell, the closed theology.
Ved kirkemødet i Nicene var det her statement omkring helvede.
Hell is the place of eternal punishment for those who reject salvation and all those who die in their sins in an unregenerate state.
Helvede er det sted. Take that one.
Yeah, it's translated in your notes.
So. Helvede er et sted med straf for dem, som forkaster frelsen, for alle, som dør i deres synder og ikke er i genfødt tilstand.
Eternal punishment, it says.
Evig straf, står der.
I emphasize that because a lot of people today don't believe in eternal punishment.
Og det ligger jeg vægt på, fordi der er mange i dag, som ikke tror på evig straf.
That it at some point it'll stop or they believe in total annihilation that you just cease to exist.
At på et eller andet tidspunkt enten så vil det på et eller andet tidspunkt stoppe eller også så tror du på at du bare bliver opløst.
None forsvinder. Of those things fit with biblical theology.
Ingen af de ting passer til bibelsk teologi.
Now there are eight rules of theology.
Der er otte regler når det kommer til teologi.
Which I'm not going to give you today.
Som jeg ikke kommer til at give jer i dag.
But one of them is all theology is harmonistic.
Det er, men det er, for alle otte gælder, at
they agree with each other, ja, with total harmony.
At alle regler, de er i harmoni med hinanden.
If you take away one of the basic of the fundamental doctrines,
hvis du tager væk en af de fundamentale doktriner,
all the other 14 fundamentals fall.
Så vil de andre 14 falde.
You interfere with one, it affects everything.
Hvis du har påvirkning på en af dem, så vil det påvirke dem alle sammen.
Of course, you deny the truth and you got to make up lies to try and make it make sense.
Så hvis du fornægter sandheden, jamen, så er du nødt til at opfinde løgne for at få det til at passe sammen.
And that's what religion has done.
Og det er det, religion har gjort.
But God's truth is completely, totally harmonistic.
Men Guds sandhed er fuldstændig i harmoni.
And that's one of the proofs of what is a true doctrine of the Bible.
Og det er det, der er et af beviserne på, at det er en sand bibelsk doktrin.
It fits into the jigsaw of the big picture perfectly.
Det passer som puslespil ind på det store billede perfekt.
Anything that doesn't,
alt der ikke gør,
is not really biblical.
Er ikke bibelsk.
That's one of the rules.
Det er en af reglerne.
The harmonistic agreement between all doctrines.
Harmonien, den harmoniske enhed der er mellem alle doktriner.
And what I'm going to give you now is one of those doctrines.
Og det jeg kommer til at give jer nu er en af disse doktriner.
The doctrine of hell.
Doktrinen om helvede.
So hell is a real place, just as heaven is.
Så helvede er et rigtigt sted, ligesom himlen er.
People dislike the notion of hell, but they accept the notion of heaven.
Folk kan ikke lide faktum om, at der er et helvede, men de elsker det, at der er en himmel.
Because we like good, we don't like bad things.
Fordi vi kan lide det gode, men vi kan ikke så godt lide det onde.
But when we make that statement, it shows a massive lack of understanding of theology.
Men når vi kommer med den påstand, så viser det en stor, stor mangel i forståelsen af teologi.
If God is a just God,
hvis Gud er en retfærdig Gud,
if God is a fair God,
hvis Gud er en fair Gud,
if God is a holy God,
hvis Gud er en hellig Gud,
then there must be a day of accounting.
Så må der være en dag, hvor du kommer til at stå til regnskab.
Where we have to answer to God for the good or the bad that we have done.
Hvor du skal tage ansvar over for Gud for det gode og det dårlige du har gjort i dit liv.
There must be a punishment.
Der må være en straf.
For breaking God's laws.
For at bryde Guds lov.
Otherwise God can't be holy.
Ellers kan Gud ikke være hellig.
Or righteous.
Eller retfærdig.
Or just.
Eller fair.
Yeah. He can't be those things.
Han kan ikke være disse ting.
The Bible clearly teaches he is those things.
Bibelen underviser at det er han.
But if there's no day of judgment and if there's no hell, he cannot be those things.
Men hvis der ikke er en dommens dag og der ikke er et helvede, jamen, så kan han ikke være disse ting.
So a lack of belief in the one will destroy all the others.
Så en manglende tro på det ene vil ødelægge alt det andet.
Paul said it this way.
Paulus sagde det på den her
talking
måde.
About the resurrection, for example.
Taler om opstandelsen.
He says if Jesus didn't rise from the dead,
at hvis Jesus ikke opstod fra de døde,
we are to be pitied above all men.
Så skal man have ondt os over alle andre mennesker.
Because we are wasting our lives.
Fordi så spilder vi vores liv.
You want to destroy Christianity?
Vil du ødelægge kristendommen?
Prove Jesus didn't rise from the dead.
Så bevis at Jesus ikke opstod fra de døde.
And it all crashes.
Og det hele vælter.
That's the harmonistic rule of theology.
Det er den harmoniske virkelighed.
If Jesus didn't rise from the dead,
hvis Jesus ikke opstod fra de døde,
he wasn't God.
Så var han ikke Gud.
Neither did he destroy the power of sin, death and hell.
Så kunne han ikke ødelægge djævelens magter.
Sin, death and hell. The power of sin, the power of death and the power of hell.
Ja.
Neither did he cut a path to God.
Så åbner han heller ikke en vej til Gud.
Neither is he the only way to God.
Så han heller ikke den eneste vej til Gud.
So what he said was a lie.
Så det han sagde var løgn.
He said, destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days.
Han sagde, ødelæg det der tempel, og jeg skal genopbygge det på 3 dage.
That was his proof of he was from God or not.
Det var hans bevis på, at han var fra Gud.
Of his authority.
Om hans autoritet.
Destroy that and everything falls.
Ødelæg det og alt andet ødelægges.
In fact, you take away any one of the fundamentals and they all fall.
Du tager væk bare en af de fundamentale ting, så vil alt andet vælte.
We cannot.
Vi kan ikke
take away the doctrine of hell.
Fjerne doktrinen omkring helvede.
The Bible, in fact, Jesus spoke more about hell than any other subject.
Jesus han talte mere om helvede end om noget andet emne i det hele taget.
You calculate all that he said, all the subjects he spoke about hell the most.
Hvis du lægger alle de ting sammen, alle de forskellige emner han snakkede om, så var helvede det han talte mest om.
Now, because of time, I'm going to give you, rather than build the picture, I'll give you the picture. There are 4 hells.
Der er 4 helveder. Jeg kommer til at give jer billedet nu, i stedet for at bygge det for jer.
And on your diagram, I'm going to draw them. This is the earth.
Det her er jorden, som vi har ned.
I'm going to draw them like this, okay?
I can't fit 4 in.
Oh, you'll understand why that.
I forstår.
4 hells.
4 helveder.
Put 3 bubbles under the ground.
3 bobler under jorden.
Because the other one is different.
For den sidste er anderledes.
In Psalm 9,
I Salme 9,
verse 17, let's go there.
Salme 9, vers 17.
These are in your notes, these scriptures, so you've got them.
Står i jeres notater.
Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked return to the grave, all the nations that forget God. Psalm 9, 17. The wicked return to the grave. What does it say there?
Han giver selv til kende. The Lord has been there, let himself be known.
Is it somewhere before that? I know in the Psalms sometimes the verses are not the same. Er det vers 18?
De ugudelige skal vende tilbage til dødsriget, ja.
Okay. What's the word there in Danish? Dødsriget.
Dødsriget.
The kingdom of
death.
Death. In the English Bible, in the NIV, is translated the grave.
I NIV står der graven.
In the Authorized Version, it's translated as hell.
I den autoriserede engelske det står det helvede.
The Hebrew word.
Det hebraiske ord
is Sheol.
Is Sheol.
And you'll read this. I'll tell you about it now. Sheol.
Sheol.
Sheol is used in the Old Testament 31 times. 31, 32, 33, 34, 37 times.
Sheol bruges i det gamle testamente 37 gange.
31 times is translated in the NIV as the grave.
31 gange oversættes det i NIV som graven.
3 times is translated as hell.
3 gange som helvede.
And 3 times is translated as the pit.
Og 3 gange like oversættes som afgrunden.
It literally means the final resting place of your physical body.
Det betyder den sidste hvilested for dit fysiske krop.
Which for most people,
hvilket for de fleste mennesker,
it's not even that anymore. For a lot of people, it's the hole in the ground, the pit, the grave.
For mange mennesker i dag er det hul i jorden, altså graven.
Where your physical body will rot away.
Der hvor dit fysiske legeme vil rådne væk.
Of course, that doesn't make sense if you were buried at sea.
Men det giver selvfølgelig ingen mening, at du bliver begravet til havs.
You become food for the fishes.
Så bliver du fiskemad.
Or if you're burnt.
Eller hvis du bliver brændt.
At the stake.
På et bål.
Or in a crematorium, you turn to ashes.
Så bliver du til aske.
Whatever it is, it's the biblical description of the place of your body, your physical flesh.
Hvad end det er, så det er en bibelsk beskrivelse for den sidste sted for din fysiske krop.
That's why many times, or most times in the Bible, it's translated the grave.
Det er derfor, det på mange steder står som
the kingdom of death.
Dødsriget.
It's literally where your physical body will be. That it's used to describe the death of your physical body.
Det er simpelthen døden for dit fysiske legeme.
And the Bible talks about it as a place, figuratively.
Og Bibelen taler om det som et sted, altså et fysisk sted.
Now, of course, we can't literally say it's the grave because not everybody's body is in the dirt.
Vi kan ikke sige, at det er graven, fordi ikke alle mennesker bliver gravet ned i jorden.
It's a word just used to figuratively describe that the wicked return to the grave.
Men det er et billedligt sprog for at vise, at den fortabte vender tilbage til.
In another scripture, it says also the righteous return to Sheol.
Men andet sted står der, at også den retfærdige vil vende tilbage til Sheol.
It's where our physical bodies go.
Hvor vores fysiske legeme tager sted.
In Psalm 16, you can read it, Proverbs 23, and so on and so on.
Salme 16 og Ordsprogen 23, det står videre længe.
So hey, Sheol is where your physical body goes. That's the picture of it.
So Sheol er hvor dit fysiske legeme skal hen.
Doesn't really bother us in that sense because our spirit, our soul, we are not there.
Fordi vi kommer ikke til at bekymre os om det, fordi vi er der ikke selv.
Your spirit and your soul will not go to Sheol.
Vores ånd og vores sjæl vil ikke tage til Sheol.
In fact, the Bible talks about two different places where your spirit and soul goes.
Bibelen taler om to forskellige steder hvor din ånd og sjæl skal hen.
Which is the next one, which in the Greek. This is Hebrew, but in the Greek it's Hades.
Sheol er hebraisk, græsk hedder Hades.
No, Sheol and Hades are not the same.
Det er ikke det samme sted.
Hades is a word we read of in the New Testament.
Hades læser vi om i det Nye Testamente.
And it literally means hell, the place of burning punishment.
Det betyder egentlig helvede, stedet med den brændende fortabelse eller straf.
Now the Bible has a number of descriptions of this place, Hades.
Bibelen har en række beskrivelser for det her sted.
I've given you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different scriptures and descriptions of this place.
Jeg giver jer i notaterne 8 forskellige skriftsteder.
Hades is the place you will understand as hell.
Hades er det sted, I vil forstå som helvede.
Where the unsaved, the wicked, the evil go when they die.
Hvor de ufrelste, de onde, de skal hen når de dør.
Their spirit and soul go to Hades.
Deres ånd og sjæl skal til Hades.
Those that don't know Jesus.
De som ikke kender Jesus.
Now let's have a look at some scriptures.
Lad os kigge på nogle skriftsteder.
Jesus described Hades, Matthew 13.
Jesus beskriver Hades i
Matthæus 13.
13.
Let's have a look. 42 and verse 50.
Vers 42 og vers 50.
Yep. says, they will throw them into the fiery furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Og kaste dem i ovnen med ild, hvor der skal være gråd og tænderskæren.
That word oven, that's Hades.
Det ord ovnen, det er Hades.
Because Hades means hell, but it's a place where there is eternal conscious punishment through fire, through heat.
Så Hades betyder helvede, og det betyder et sted, hvor der er konstant bevidst ild.
And Jesus describes what happens there through many descriptive words. Here he says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth there.
Og Jesus han bruger mange billeder på at fortælle, hvad der sker der. Og her siger han, at der skal være gråd og tænderskæren.
This verse 50 as well, he says a similar thing.
I vers 50 siger han noget lignende.
And throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Og kast dem i ovnen med ild, og der skal være gråd og tænderskæren.
He's talking about those outside of Christ.
Han taler om dem, der ikke er i Kristus, dem der er fortabte.
Now, I don't know what weeping and gnashing of teeth says to you, but this is what the Greek means.
Jeg ved ikke, hvad gråd og tænderskæren siger jer, men det her det betyder på græsk.
Remember, Greek is very specific in its meaning. It's very difficult to misunderstand.
Husk på, at græsk er meget, meget specifik i meningen, så det er meget svært at misforstå.
The word weeping means this.
Ordet gråd betyder dette.
How many words do you have for crying in Danish?
Hvor mange ord vi har på dansk for gråd?
We have many in English, but the Greek have many more. I'll explain it in English because I don't know the Danish.
Der er mange på engelsk. Jeg vil forklare på engelsk, fordi jeg kan ikke dansk.
The level of sadness that caused tears. Okay, these are the English words.
De niveauer af sorg, der frembringer gråd.
You have sadness.
Du har sorg.
No. There's
bedrøvelse.
Yeah, sadness would be the first level.
Bedrøvelse.
No, unhappiness. First one.
Ulykkelig.
Sadness.
Bedrøvelse.
Depression.
Depression.
Weeping.
Gråd.
I just can't remember the English words. Screaming.
Scream.
Screaming.
Yeah, screaming.
Oh, wailing. That's the word.
And wailing, yeah, yamron.
That yamron.
Yamron.
Okay, that's roughly. There's a few more words I just can't remember them. There are different levels.
Det er forskellige niveauer.
That's the point I'm making. Wailing in the English, and it's. The word wailing comes directly from the Greek word that Jesus uses here. This is the meaning of that level of sadness, of crying. Weeping infers quietness. It's not
Rah!
It infers a quiet reflection. It's coming from the deepest part of your body. It's coming from your inside. And it still infers tears are coming out, but it's in quietness.
Først kommer der tårer, men det er stadig stillhed.
Because weeping comes from regret.
Gråd kommer fra fortrydelse. Tak.
Regret.
Fortrydelse.
And when you look at that word there, what is Jesus saying hell is going to be like?
Og når du kigger på det ord, hvad er det så Jesus siger, at helvede skal være som?
It's a place of incredible regret from the deepest innermost being of your heart.
Det er en fortrydelse fra det dybeste indre af dit hjerte.
That you will weep.
Du kommer til at græde.
It's a quiet,
det er en
tavs, deep felt sorrow.
Dybfølt sorg.
That's full of regret.
Som er fuld af fortrydelse.
What are you regretting?
Hvad er du fortryder?
When people are in hell, they have a fullness of the knowledge.
Når mennesker i helvede har den fulde forståelse
of what we've drawn.
Af alt det vi har tegnet.
That God had a plan for their lives and they rejected it.
At Gud havde en plan for deres liv, men de forkastede det.
That there is a God and they didn't want to know him.
At der var en Gud, men de ønskede ikke at kende ham.
There is a revelation of all that Jesus wanted you to have, but you rejected it.
Der er en åbenbaring af alt det Jesus ønskede du skulle have.
There is a massive revelation in your heart that where you are and what you are suffering, you didn't need to be there.
Og der er en åbenbaring i dit hjerte om at det du er i, den smerte du er i lige nu, er ikke et sted du behøver at have været.
It was your own pride and arrogance that made you go there.
At det var din egen stolthed og arrogance der drev dig derhen.
And there's a huge amount of regret and remorse.
Og der er en kæmpe fortrydelse og anger over.
Because you now know you are there and it's your own fault and you can't get out.
Fordi du ved at nu er du der og det er din egen skyld og du kan ikke komme ud.
There's no escape.
Der er ingen udvej.
And you know it's my fault.
Og du ved at det er din egen.
God did everything possible to get me out of here.
Gud gjorde alt hvad han kunne for at få mig ud herfra.
And I didn't take it.
Og jeg tog ikke chancen.
That's what that word there, weeping, means.
Det er det ord, gråd, det betyder.
It's a horrible word.
Det er et frygteligt ord.
But then Jesus adds something.
Men så tilføjer Jesus noget.
Gnashing your teeth.
Tænders gnissel.
Now the Greek word gnashing of teeth there is a real funny thing.
Det græske ord her er en meget, meget sjov ting.
It gives the connotation, the meaning, the feeling of this.
Det giver fornemmelsen eller følelsen eller meningen af det her.
I describe it this way.
Jeg beskriver det på den her måde.
I was fixing my car with a friend of mine.
Jeg var ved at reparere min bil med en af mine venner.
And we were fixing the wheel bearing.
Og vi hvad hedder
kugle?
Det? Ja, vi reparerede kugleliner.
I was all holding the housing and he was putting the bearing in it.
Jeg holdt fast i cylinderen og han var ved at stikke hvad hedder den?
The bearing in. Yeah. And he was hitting it with a big hammer like this, just tapping.
Han tappede med en stor hammer.
Because you got to put it in.
Du nødt til at gøre det stille.
Then he got a little thing when it gone so deep and then he just goes bang.
Og så putter han låg på bag eller en lille ting ovenpå bagefter og så et ordentligt slag.
But he missed.
Men han ramte på siden af.
And he hit my thumb.
Han ramte min tommeltot.
And my thumb burst like a grape.
Og min tommeltot den sprak som en grapefrugt. En drue, undskyld.
I went.
Jeg sagde sådan der.
I gnashed my teeth because of the pain.
Jeg bed tænderne sammen.
And I'm running around.
Jeg løb rundt.
Nothing I could do could stop the pain.
Der var ikke noget jeg kunne gøre der kunne stoppe den smerte.
And the only way I could cope with it was biting down on my teeth, gnashing my teeth.
Og den eneste måde jeg kunne holde det ud, det var ved at simpelthen bide tænderne sammen.
Luckily my friend's wife was there. She's a nurse. She grabbed my arm and put it straight up in the air like that.
Og heldigvis så var min vens kone, hun var sygeplejerske, hun tog fat.
And then took some elastic band and tied it round to stop the blood pouring out.
Og hun tog nogle elastikbånd omkring tommeltotten, så det holdt op med at bløde.
It took me to hospital.
Tog mig til hospitalet.
It was in Hobro.
Det var i Hobro.
And I'm still.
Jeg stod
give me something for the pain.
Jeg havde stadig ondt.
And the doctor came and she started pulling the bits of flesh with a pair of tweezers.
Og der kom en doktor.
What are you doing? And she goes, oh, haven't you had any pain relief yet?
Og siger,
no!
Og siger, oj, har du ikke fået noget smertestillende nu? Og jeg tænker, nej!
So she gave me these injections in my thumb.
Så hun begyndte at sprøjte noget ind i tommeltotten.
And then it was no problem.
Så var der ikke noget problem længere.
Carry on. And she just sewed it, cut the flesh off and sewed the skin up.
Så klippede hun noget kødstum bag, og så syvede huden sammen.
That describes gnashing of teeth to a small amount.
Det er det, der beskriver en tænders gnissel.
It's a pain. Yeah. It's an agony.
Det er smerte.
You can't do anything to get relief from.
Og du kan ikke gøre noget som helst for at få befrielse fra det.
Now sometimes when you've got a bad back, if you get into a certain place, you got a little bit of relief.
Nogle gange når du har ondt i ryggen, så kan du ligge på en bestemt måde, og så kan du
that
lige slappe
was
af.
A pain I couldn't escape from.
Men det her det var en smerte jeg ikke kunne slippe af sted fra.
Until they put that injection in my thumb.
Indtil hun sprøjtede noget i de fingre på mig.
It hurt.
Så gjorde det ondt.
I gnashed my teeth.
Yep.
But gnashing your teeth speaks of something else.
Men tænder as well. Taler også om noget andet.
It's a pain you can't escape.
Det er en smerte du ikke kan slippe væk fra.
But it speaks of frustration.
Men taler også om frustration.
I am here.
Jeg er her.
And I'm never getting out.
Jeg kommer aldrig ud.
But it is agony.
Men det er smerte.
You know, one of the ways psychologically we cope with pain is that frustration outlet.
Og en måde vi psykologisk tager hånd om smerte, det er den her at komme af med det.
Frustration we normally
frustration det siger vi så.
And we feel a bit better.
Og så har vi lidt bedre.
We let it out a little.
Vi lader det komme ud.
Deep frustration.
Dyb frustration.
I danced around, screaming, shouting, holding my thumb, and I'm going like, nah, 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 like an idiot for 5 or 10 minutes. There was blood everywhere. It was just coming out. And the whole garage was covered in blood.
Hele garagen fuld af blod.
Till they grabbed hold of me. That was frustration.
Det var frustrationen.
I couldn't get out.
Jeg kunne ikke komme fri.
From that pain.
Fra smerten.
When Jesus describes hell, he says it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Og når Jesus han beskriver helvede, så det beskriver han som et sted, der er gråd og tænderskærende.
There will be a frustration there.
Der vil være en frustration der.
Because of the agony.
På grund af smerten.
That we have never known.
Som vi har aldrig forstået eller aldrig kendt.
Let's carry on. Revelation 19 and verse 20.
Åbenbaringsbogen 9 og vers 20.
The Bible describes hell, the pain in hell this way. Revelation 19 verse 20.
Vers 19, kapitel 19, vers 20.
The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The last part of it. The beast was captured and so on.
Der kom ham.
Hell is described as a fiery lake of burning sulfur.
Ja, det blev beskrevet her som en de blev begge styrtet i en levende ildsø med brændende svovl.
Svovl, is that? What's that? Okay. This is the same stuff that God rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah.
Det var det som Gud han bragte ned over Sodom og Gomorrah.
Now, I was watching a documentary last week about they think they found the place where Sodom and Gomorrah was.
Jeg så en dokumentar den anden dag hvor man mener han har fundet et sted hvor Sodom og Gomorrah lå.
Because it's one of the only places in the world,
fordi det er en af de eneste steder i verden,
where they have these sulfur rocks.
Hvor der er de her svovlklipper.
And they are very special.
Og de er meget, meget specielle.
Because once they catch fire,
fordi, når de en gang har tændt ild,
they burn so hot they'll melt through metal.
Så brænder de så varmt, så de smelter, så de brænder igennem metal.
In the old English word, we call it brimstone. Rocks of burning sulfur.
I gammel engelsk kalder vi det svovlsten.
Brimstone is a funny old thing.
Det er en sjov ting.
Because once you set it alight, you can't put it out.
For når du først har tændt den, så kan du ikke slukke den igen.
You can light a brimstone.
Du kan tænde en svovlsten.
And put it in a bucket of water.
Og lægge ned i en spand med vand.
It will still continue to burn.
Og det vil fortsætte med at brænde.
All the bubbles, it'll suck the oxygen out of the water.
Og alle boblerne, det vil suge alt ilt ud af vandet.
Till that water disappears in steam.
Indtil vand det forsvinder i.
Then it burns through your bucket.
Så det brænder igennem spanden.
And it's a very dangerous place because it's these rocks are all over that area.
Og det er et farligt sted, fordi de her klipper, de er over hele det område.
And once they are set on fire, they will burn.
Og når de først bliver tændt, så vil de brænde.
The Jews used to use it in a place just outside Jerusalem called the Valley of Hinnom.
Jøderne plejede at bruge det i et sted lige uden for Jerusalem, der hedder Hinnomsdalen.
Which we'll look at in a moment.
Kigge på lige om lidt.
But it was the refuse place. It was the dump.
Men det var lossepladsen.
It was where all their rubbish was thrown, and the dead bodies and animal carcasses and everything was thrown in that place.
Der smed de døde kroppe og døde dyr og alt muligt ud i den.
And to destroy all that,
og for at ødelægge alt det her,
they would throw this brimstone,
så ville de smide de her svovlsten,
on fire, because it would continue to burn day and night.
Og de ville fortsætte med at brænde dag og nat.
It was a horrible place.
Det var et frygteligt sted.
It existed at the time of Jesus still. That's how they disposed of their rubbish.
Det var fandtes også, det her sted fandtes også på Jesu tid. Det var sådan de skilte sig af med deres affald.
Because there was a place in southern Israel where this brimstone was everywhere or just on the surface.
Fordi der var et sted i Sydisrael hvor de her svovlsten de var.
It's the only place in the world where this stuff is found in this form.
Det er det eneste sted i verden hvor det her stof det findes på den her form.
And now archaeologists as they've dug down they found the foundation of two cities.
Og nu har arkeologerne gravet ned og fundet grundvolden til to byer.
Which is the biblical description of where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be.
Og det er den bibelske definition på hvor Sodom og Gomorrah plejer at ligge.
But both Jesus and John in Revelation uses this term, fire and brimstone.
Men både Jesus og Johannes i åbenbaringen bruger den her terminologi med
to describe a place of fire that cannot go out, that won't go out even though you put water on it.
For at beskrive en ild som ikke kan gå ud selvom du putter vand på.
Because everybody at this time they were communicating to understood that when you light brimstone, you leave it alone because it's dangerous.
Fordi alle havde en forståelse på det her tidspunkt af at når du først tændte ild til svovlsten, så lader du dem være, fordi det var farligt.
You can still go there and get it.
Du kan stadig tage derhen nu og få
det. But it's against the law to light it.
Men det er ulovligt at tænde ild til.
Because in such a place that's full of it.
Fordi i stedet, hvor det er fuld af, der vil det brænde det hele.
You're gonna go.
Så brænder det.
But it's a place where the fire cannot be put out. That's what the term means.
Men det er et sted, hvor ilden ikke kan slukkes.
Revelation 14.
Åbenbaringsbogen 14.
And then we look at Luke 16.
Så Lukas 16 bagefter.
Revelation 14 verses 9 to 11.
9 til 11.
Read 9 to 9-11, ja. Yeah.
Og en tredjedel af englene fulgte dem efter dem og sagde med høj røst, hvis der er nogen, der tilbeder dyret og dets billede og sætter dets mærke på sin pande eller hånd, skal han også drikke Guds harmes vin, skænket ufortyndet i hans vredes bæger, og han skal pines i ild og svovl med øjnene af de hellige engle og lammet. And 11?
Ja. Yeah.
Og røgen fra deres pinsler skal stige op i evighedernes evigheder, og de har ingen hvile, hverken dag eller nat. De, der tilhører dyret, spillet eller tager dets navn eller som mærke.
Some horrible words there. The smoke of their torment rises forever.
Røgen fra deres pinsler vil stige for evigt.
There is no rest for them, either day or night.
Og der er ingen hvile for dem, hverken dag eller nat.
He will be tormented in the burning sulfur.
Han vil pines i den brændende svovl.
And in the presence of the lamb.
I lammets, for øjnene af lammet.
See, now many people say hell is where God isn't.
Mange mennesker siger, at helvede det der Gud han ikke er.
That cannot theologically be true.
Det kan ikke teologisk set være sandt.
If God is omnipresent.
Hvis Gud er allesteds nærværende.
There cannot be a place in creation where he is not.
Så kan der ikke være et sted i skabelsen hvor han ikke er.
And that scripture in Revelation tells us that hell is where the presence of the Lamb is.
Og det her skriftet viser os rent faktisk at helvede er et sted hvor Guds nærvær er, eller Guds
but
nærvær
it's er. It's his wrath and his judgment.
Men hans vrede og hans dom.
The Bible says God is a consuming fire.
Bibelen siger at Gud er en fortærende ild.
In Hebrews 12. And so we begin to build this picture that this Hades.
So we begin to build a picture that this Hades
is not a very pleasant place.
Ikke et særligt rart sted.
And we've only looked at three scriptures.
Og vi har kun kigget på tre skrifter indtil videre.
The Bible goes on. You can read these. It's a fire that's never quenched, Jesus says in Mark 9.
Jesus siger, det er en ild, som aldrig slukkes i Markus 9.
Let me just read that last one. Luke 16.
Lukas 16.
Verse 19. That's the story of the rich man and Lazarus.
Historien om Lazarus og den rige mand.
Now I just want to pull this one scripture out. Let me just find it. Verse 24. So he called Lazarus.
Fader Abraham råbte han, forbarm dig over mig og send Lazarus, så han kan dyppe spidsen af sin finger i vand og læske min tunge, for jeg pines i disse luer.
Because I'm in agony in this fire. Yeah. Is that what it says? Yeah. There's another description of it. Torment, yeah. It's a place of incredible torment.
Det er et sted med frygtelig pine.
It's a fire that's never quenched, Mark 9 tells us.
Det er en ild som aldrig slukkes, står der i Markus 9.
Now Jesus uses another incredible description.
Og Jesus han bruger en anden fantastisk beskrivelse.
He says the worm of their conscience is a place where the worm of their conscience never dies.
Hvor han siger at det er et sted hvor deres samvittighedsorm,
the worm.
Hvor deres samvittighedsorm aldrig dør.
That's what the Greek says, the worm of your conscience.
Det står i den græske oversættelse, at orm, din
What on earth is this worm of our conscience?
Hvad er den her orm?
Now, a lot of the English language is based on both Latin and Greek, so we have these sayings in our language.
Mit engelske sprog er baseret på græsk og latin, så derfor har vi.
Maybe you have them in Danish.
Måske har jeg også på dansk.
Where if I see something is deeply troubling you,
jeg ser noget som virkelig gnaver dig,
I'll ask you this thing: what's eating you?
Så sig, hvad er det, der spiser dig?
Do you have that saying in Danish?
Not really.
No, okay. It's in the English language. It comes from this.
Okay, det kommer herfra.
There's a worm inside you, eating you up away.
Der er en gnaven i dig, noget der spiser dig.
And Jesus described as a worm, and that's what when we say what's eating you, it means what worm is inside you, eating you from the inside out, that you look so bad.
Jesus beskriver som en orm, og det er det vi mener, når vi siger hvad er det der spiser dig, hvad er det for en orm der gnaver
dig? It means something is deeply troubling you.
Noget som virkelig virkelig går dig på.
And Jesus uses this term to describe Hades.
Og Jesus bruger den her term til at beskrive Hades.
It's a place where you are deeply troubled inside.
Det er et sted hvor du er dybt bekymret indeni.
What are you worried about? What are you concerned about?
Hvad der bekymrer dig?
It's a horrible meaning.
Det er en frygtelig mening, betydning.
When you go to hell,
når du skal til helvede,
the sins that you have,
så de synder du har,
will go with you.
Dem tager du med dig.
If you're a drug addict,
hvis du er narkomisbruger,
you will still be addicted and want drugs.
Så du stadig er afhængig og misbruger.
But you'll enter cold turkey but can't get any.
Du vil gå ind i en kold tyrker, man kan ikke få den.
And you'll be in that state forever.
Og du vil være i den der state.
Or if you're an angry person or a bitter person or whatever characteristic you have in life you take with you.
Hvis du er en vred person eller en bitter person, så hvad end karakteristika du har i dit liv,
because it's part of you, it's in your soul.
Fordi en del af dig, det er i din sjæl.
That rottenness is in you.
Den rådenhed er i dig.
But you will be in the presence of God.
Men du vil være i Guds nærvær.
In perfect holiness.
I perfekt hellighed.
I've said this to you before. To us as saints, the God's holiness is a beautiful thing.
Jeg har sagt det her før, at for os som hellige er Guds nærvær en fantastisk ting.
But His holiness, when you're a sinner, is a terrifying thing.
Men hans hellighed, når du er en synder, det er en frygtelig ting.
And the darkness that you have inside you.
Og mørket du har i dig.
Will become so apparent and intense to you.
Vil være så nærværende og så intenst for dig.
It'll almost be unbearable to live with.
At det vil næsten være umuligt at leve
med. It will be a worm that's eating you on the inside.
Det er en orm der æder dig fra indersiden.
Because now you're in the presence of a holy God.
Fordi nu er du i en hellig Guds nærvær.
And remember what I said when I got saved. It became intensely agonizing for me. I felt all my sin.
Og husk hvad jeg sagde, da jeg blev frelst, at det blev en frygtelig smerte for mig, fordi jeg følte lige pludselig al min synd.
I didn't have any understanding of the Bible, but I knew what I was feeling.
Jeg havde ingen forståelse for Bibelen overhovedet, men jeg vidste hvad jeg følte.
There was a worm eating me on the inside.
Der var en orm der åd mig fra indersiden af.
And I thought I was going to die.
Og jeg troede jeg skulle dø.
It was agonizing.
Det var smertefuldt.
Luckily.
Heldigvis.
Thankfully, God took it all away and cleansed me.
Heldigvis så tog Gud det hele væk og rent.
But Hades is a place where it's too late.
Men Hades,
you cannot escape this.
Du kan ikke,
and you have this eating you on the inside forever.
Og det æder dig indenfra for altid.
Because Jesus says the worm will not die.
Fordi Jesus siger at ormen vil ikke dø.
And it's a terrifying meaning. It's a horrible thing.
Og det er et frygtelig sted.
There's a Greek word which is a very powerful word which is used to describe how long Hades lasts.
Der er et græsk ord der bruges til at beskrive hvor lang tid Hades varer.
It's aeon, A-I-O-N. It's in your notes.
Aeon, det står i jeres notater.
It means everlasting, never ending, eternal, betyder, will always be.
Det betyder evigt, for altid, vil altid være, uden ende.
It's eternal punishment.
Det er evig straf.
Oh my goodness. Then there's another in Mark chapter 9. Jesus gives us another meaning of Hades.
Og Markus 9 giver han også et endnu en mening.
Turn with me to Mark chapter 9.
Slå op med mig Markus 9.
48 and 49. Now here's where Jesus mentioned all these three things. Hey, He says, pluck out your eye, for it's better to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, Hades, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire.
Og hvis dit øje bringer dig til fald, så riv det ud, for det er bedre at tjent, for du er bedre tjent med at gå ind i Guds rige med et øje, end med begge øje i behold kastet i helvede, hvor madgerne ikke dør, og hvor ilden ikke slukkes, hvor enhver skal saltes med ild.
These words, salted with fire, that Jesus uses.
Det er ord saltet med ild, som Jesus bruger her.
It's a term that the people of the day would all understand.
Det er en terminologi, som alle dengang ville forstå.
We may not understand it because we don't have the cultural background.
Vi forstår det ikke, fordi vi har ikke den kulturelle baggrund.
But let me explain what he means by this.
Men lad mig forklare, hvad han mener med det.
In the valley of Hinnom,
i Hinnoms dal,
where all the refuse and all the rubbish was,
hvor de havde alt deres affald,
burning with the sulfur,
hvor de brændte
day
sol,
and night,
nat og dag,
there was the altar to Molech.
Der var der et alter til Molech?
Yeah. Remember in the Old Testament they sacrificed their children to Molech. You often hear that term in Israel.
I Gamle Testament der ofrede de børn til Molech.
What that was? It wouldn't mean they just throw their children on the fire. This is what they would do.
Det betyder ikke bare at de kaster deres børn på ilden, men det her de gjorde det.
Molech was a massive fat brass statue.
Molech var en stor,
about 3 meters high.
Fed bronzestatue som var 3 meter høj.
With his sat with his legs crossed like a Buddha.
Og sad med korslagte ben ligesom en Buddha.
And his hands joined and held out like this.
Og hans hænder holdt sig ud som det her.
And they would always have this brimstone burning round this big bronze statue.
Og der ville altid være svovlsten som brændte omkring den her statue.
So that the statue would be, you know, like red hot, would be glowing red, it was so hot.
Så den her statue ville altid være rødglødende.
And when it says in the Old Testament they made their children pass through the fire, or they would sacrifice their kids to Molech.
Og når det står at i Gamle Testament de ville lade deres børn gå igennem ilden eller ofre dem til Molech.
The big statue was in the valley of Hinnom.
Så var den her statue i Hinnoms dal.
And they take their children.
Og de ville tage deres børn.
And they take all the clothes off their children. They throw them on his hands naked.
Og de ville tage tøj deres børn og så lægge dem op på det her hans hænder.
And they worship Molech, listening to the screams of the baby.
Og så ville de tilbede Molech, mens de lyttede til deres børns skrin.
Obviously, it's red hot metal.
Det er
he's slowly burning to death.
Rødglødende metal, så de brænder langsomt til døde.
Now this is horrible.
Nej,
what
er
I'm about to say. But this is the term that Jesus used to describe Hades.
Men det er den term som Jesus bruger for at beskrive Hades.
As part of their worship.
Som en del af deres lovprisning.
When that they would put adults sometimes as well. When they went quiet, usually because the nerves were burnt away, but still alive.
Når de blev stille, oftest fordi deres nerver var brændt væk, men de var stadig vel.
They would then throw salt on them.
Så de kastede salt på dem.
Have you ever had salt in an open wound? Oh my goodness, that's agony. Imagine when all your skin is burnt off. Then they'll throw salt on you. That's part of the worship to this God. And that's the meaning behind what Jesus uses here. Everyone in Hades will be salted with fire.
Og det er det, Jesus han hentyder til, når han skriver, at alle skal, enhver skal saltes med ild.
If the fire wasn't bad enough, then salt is thrown on you.
Hvis ilden ikke var slem nok, så hælder vi salt på os.
Understand that a lot of it's all symbolism.
Det er symbolisk det her.
It means this place is going to be painful.
Det betyder at det her sted det bliver smertefuldt.
Beyond we can imagine.
Mere end vi kan forestille os.
These terms that Jesus uses to describe Hades is
de ord, som frygtelige. Bruger til at beskrive Hades er frygtelige.
But he uses them nonetheless.
Men han bruger dem.
We must not, we cannot ignore them.
Vi kan ikke ignorere det her.
This is Jesus, and he spoke more about these things than anything else.
Det er Jesus, og han snakker om det her mere end noget andet.
We will be on that altar, ever being salted but never dying.
Vi vil være på det der alter og blive saltet og aldrig nogensinde dø.
You've got to understand, hell was designed for Satan, the angels, the fallen angels and the demons was never designed for us.
Altså, I må forstå, at helvede er designet til Satan og dæmonerne og de faldne engle. Den var aldrig nogensinde tænkt for os som mennesker.
There are many other words used to describe Hades.
Der er mange andre ord, der beskriver
Hades. The place of destruction.
Ødelæggelsesstedet.
The place of perdition. the repayment of your punishment
for
breaking the law. The second death, the wrath of God,
Guds vrede,
outer darkness,
det ydre mørke,
unquenchable fire,
den uslukkelige ild,
blackest darkness,
det mørkeste mørke,
eternal damnation,
evig fortabelse,
a place of no light,
et sted der ikke er lys,
no life,
ingen liv,
no peace,
ingen fred,
no joy,
ingen glæde,
and no way out,
og ingen vej ud,
forever,
for evigt.
Oh, let's have a drink, quick. What I've given you is just the mild stuff, what the Bible describes this place, Hades, as.
Det her er givet jer, det er den milde version af, hvad Bibelen skriver Hades som.
It's full of warnings about this place. The Bible is full of warnings.
Bibelen er fuld af advarsler mod det her sted.
That's Hades.
Det er Hades.
Where every unsaved soul spirit will go.
Hvor enhver ufrelst sjæl og ånd skal hen.
That is there today, now.
Som er der i dag.
But they won't be in this place forever.
Men de kommer ikke til at være på det her sted for evigt.
Let's have a break. Tea break, coffee break, water break.
Kaffepause.
Run and cry in the toilet break.
Løb ud og græd på toilettet. Pause.
We need to understand these things.
Vi er nødt til at forstå de her ting.
We need to, if we want a proper idea of what is going on in the supernatural realm.
If you need to understand what is going on in the supernatural
realm. Any question? Any spørgsmåls?
No spørgsmål.
What was that?
So it's the punishment. Is the punishment the
knowledge of your sin?
Knowledge of your sin. Yeah.
It's only a part of it. That's the worm that eats you up. Yes. Yeah. See, this is my theory based on scriptures.
Det er min teori, Tom, baseret på skriften.
People believe that hell is where God isn't. I believe hell is where God is.
Mennesker tror at helvede det er der hvor Gud ikke er. Jeg er ret sikker på at det er der hvor han er.
The many scriptures, but let me just turn you back to Revelation 14.
Lad os lige tage tilbage til Åbenbaringen 14.
I said this would challenge some of your beliefs.
Jeg sagde det her det ville udfordre jeres tro.
But look at what Revelation tells us. Revelation 14.
Åbenbaringsbogen 14.
Verse 10. He too will drink the wine of God's fury, which is poured out in full strength in the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy Lamb of God.
Skal han også drikke Guds vrede,
and the angels.
Guds harmsvin, skænket ufortyndt i hans vredes bæger. Og han skal pines i ild og svovl for øjnene af de hellige engle og lammet.
It very much so.
Det vil være Guds hellighed, ja.
Now Hebrews chapter 12,
Hebræerne 12
tells us three things about God's holiness.
Fortæller os tre ting om Guds hellighed.
Verse 7, verse 14, and I think it's verse 28 or 29.
Vers 7, vers 14, vers 28 eller 29.
It says this.
Det står her.
God will refine us and clean us.
Gud vil rense os.
Because he wants us to share in his holiness.
Fordi han ønsker, at vi skal tage del af hans hellighed.
Because sinfulness and holiness cannot mix.
Syndfuldhed og hellighed kan ikke mix.
Holiness wants to kill sinfulness.
Helligheden vil dræbe syndighed.
So you've got to understand that what are we saved from?
Vi er nødt til at forstå, hvad det er, vi er
frelst fra. We are saved from the wrath of God, the Bible says. The anger, the fury, which we just read there.
Frelst fra Guds vrede.
We are saved from God.
Vi er frelst fra Gud.
But what then, verse 14 says, without holiness.
Men uden frelse står.
No one will see the Lord and share in his glory.
Vil ingen se Gud og tage del af hans.
And then verse 29 says, because God's holiness is a consuming fire.
Og vers 29 står der, fordi hans hellighed er en fortærende ild.
All that chapter, it gives us a great insight, as well as all the Old Testament.
Hele det kapitel, også
you
know, ligesom hele
you got that sacrifice wrong, and fire would come out from the Holy of Holies and burn you to ashes.
Hvis du kom med dit offer forkert i det gamle testament.
God is a dangerous God.
Gud er en farlig Gud.
When you're on the wrong side of him.
Når du er på den forkerte side.
When you're on the right side of God, he's beautiful.
Når du er på den rigtige side, så er han smuk.
To the saint, the Bible talks about the beauty of his holiness, not the fiery part.
For de hellige står der om ynde ved hans hellighed.
Because we too will burn with that holy fire.
Fordi vi også vil brænde med hellighed.
But it won't consume us.
Men det vil ikke fortære os.
It won't be. It'll be beautiful to us because of the blood of Jesus makes us holy.
Men det er smukt, fordi Jesu blod gør os hellige.
The word saints is a Greek word which means holy ones.
Det græske ord hellig er det ord, som betyder de hellige.
That Greek word holy.
Det græske ord hellig.
Means totally pure, clean and perfect.
Betyder fuldstændig ren, perfekt.
Now we know we are not.
Vi ved godt, vi ikke er det.
But we are.
Men det er vi.
It's the same thing as that we live on the earth, but we're also living in heaven.
Det er samme som at vi lever på jorden, men vi også er i himlen.
We are transhabitational people.
Vi er tværdimensionelle mennesker.
And one day,
oh,
let me put it this way: there are three areas of purification that will happen to us.
Areas.
Yeah.
Der er tre områder rengøres.
At the cross,
på korset,
our sin is separated from us.
Bliver vores synd delt fra os, taget fra os.
The punishment of our sin.
Straffen for vores synd.
It's gone. It's finished. It's dealt with.
Den er just til
hånden. I will never face my God for my sin.
Jeg vil aldrig stå ansigt til
mig. Bible is very clear on that.
Det er Bibelen ret tydelig.
It's been separated from me. It's called justification.
Den er taget væk fra mig. Den er kaldt helliggørelse.
But in my spirit, my soul, in my spirit and soul, I am going through a process of purification.
Så går jeg igennem en renselsesproces.
That's called sanctification.
Det kaldes retfærdiggørelse.
Helliggørelse. That's the process that God is taking me to making me more and more like Jesus.
Det er den proces, som Jesus tager mig igennem, gør mig mere og mere lig Jesus.
Paul says we are being changed from glory into more glory.
Paulus siger vi forandrer os fra herlighed til herlighed.
And that process will take all my life as long as I follow Jesus.
Kommer til at tage hele mit liv, alle tider.
But there is one other process of helliggørelsen, being made holy, we have to go through.
Men der er en proces mere i dem, i processen til at blive helliggjort, som
And that happens at the rapture.
Og det sker ved bortrykkelsen.
When this body, this flesh,
når den her krop, det her kød,
will be glorified,
bliver herliggjort,
will be made perfect,
bliver gjort perfekt.
I will get a perfect body.
Jeg får en perfekt krop.
You will get a perfect body.
Du får en perfekt krop.
You will all look like me.
I kommer alle sammen til at se ud som mig.
That's the final process of Helliger, being made holy.
Det er den sidste proces i trætrinsraketten.
My sin has been taken away.
Min synd er taget væk.
And the punishment for it.
Og straffen for den.
The training to be made more like Jesus is continuing now.
Træningen for at blive mere lig Jesus fortsætter nu.
But there's coming a point when even my flesh, my body, will be made holy.
Men der kommer et tidspunkt, hvor selv min krop bliver helliggjort.
And I will have a body that will never die.
Og jeg får en krop, der aldrig skal dø.
I will never grow tired.
Jeg bliver aldrig træt.
I'll never grow old.
Jeg kommer aldrig til at blive gammel.
I will be a real Welshman. I mean, a son of God.
Jeg kommer til at være en rigtig Guds søn.
That, and we will all get that perfect body.
Og vi alle får den her perfekte.
If you die tonight,
hvis du dør i aften,
and answer your question, our spirit and soul goes to the third heaven.
For at besvare de spørgsmål, så tager vores ånd og sjæl til den tredje himmel.
1 Thessalonians 4 and 2 Thessalonians 3 talks a lot about this.
1 Thessalonians 4 og 2 Thessalonians 3
taler med. Because Paul addresses the Thessalonian church with this, because they ask the same question. What happens to us when we die? And he says this term.
Han siger den her sætning.
We will be absent from the body.
Vi vil være adskilt fra legemet.
That will be in Sheol.
Det vil være Sheol.
But we will be present with the Lord.
Vi vil være nærværende med Herren.
He said to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise."
Han sagde til tyven, "I dag vil du være sammen med mig i paradis."
When you read of John's revelation,
når du læser om Johannes,
where he goes up into heaven,
hvor han op ind i himlen,
in the first few chapters,
de første kapitler,
you read of a number of things. Now he has the same vision.
Han får samme
as Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6.
Isaiah 6.
The throne, the angels flying round crying holy holy, the 24 elders and so on.
Englene flyver rundt og synger hellig 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 og de 24 ældste.
But there's one massive difference between John's visit to the throne of God and Isaiah's visit.
Compare the forskel på Johannes' åbenbaring og Isaias' åbenbaring.
It is awesome when you compare the two visions.
Det er fantastisk at du sammenligner de to visioner.
Everything is the same except one thing.
Alt er ens, bortset fra én ting.
In John's vision,
Johannes' version,
He sees the saints.
Så ser han de hellige.
The saints are there worshiping round the throne.
De hellige står rundt omkring tronen og lovsynger.
Isaiah didn't see it. He didn't tell us in Isaiah 6 that the saints were there. Why? Because Jesus hadn't died yet.
Han havde ikke set det, fordi de var der ikke.
They couldn't be there.
De kunne ikke have været der.
But in John,
men Johannes,
he sees them there.
Ser han dem.
We know if we are to die tonight, we're going to be with Jesus in paradise.
Ved at hvis vi dør i aften, så kommer vi til at være med Jesus.
I'm not going any of these hells. I'm going to the third heaven.
Jeg skal ikke til nogen af de her tre helveder. Jeg skal til himlen.
And it's blissful.
Og det er
bliss. Have I described bliss to you? The word bliss. Yeah, I think I did. Bliss is the highest word we have in the English language for joy.
Yeah, det er det højeste ord for.
Lyksalig.
Is that the word?
Den word is lyksalig.
Okay, great. Lyksalig. Is it a place of blissful existence? The Bible says. Bliss is so difficult. I describe bliss by a Christmas thing that happened to me, but yeah, bliss is where you are crying.
Lyksalig er hvor du græder.
You are overwhelmed with joy and happiness and peace.
Du er så overvældet af.
You don't ever want to leave that point.
Og du ønsker ikke nogen steder til at komme væk fra
det. It is perfection.
Det er perfekt.
Joy in perfection.
Perfekt glæde.
And you don't ever want to leave it.
Og du ønsker ikke nogen steder at forlade det.
That's what Jesus promises us if we die before he comes again.
Det er det Jesus han lover os hvis vi dør før han kommer tilbage.
In one sense it's a little bit sad.
På en eller anden måde så er det lidt trist.
Because and this might sound weird, so don't stone me, okay?
Lad være med at stene mig på det her. Det lyder måske lidt underligt.
If Jesus came,
hvis Jesus han kom,
and I don't die, I get raptured and taken to heaven. I get my new body. The Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye.
Så får jeg mit nye legeme i et øje på et øje.
Some of you will change so dramatically there'll be very little change in me. But anyway, that's something else. we go up. But we are caught up, Paul says, together with those that have died.
Vi kommer til at blive taget op, men vi bliver kommer til at være sammen med dem, som allerede er døde.
And I always used to think, God, why do the dead rise first? We are already here.
Hvorfor skal de døde rejse først? Vi er her allerede jo.
They have to come back to the earth.
De er nødt til at komme tilbage til jorden.
Given their new body.
Få deres nye krop.
And then go back to heaven.
Og så tilbage til himlen.
If we are raptured, we will never know that blissful state that the dead in Christ know now.
Hvis vi dør eller hvis vi bliver bortrykket, så kommer vi aldrig til at opleve det lyksalige.
Everything changes stedet, from that point on.
Vi er i nu.
We have 7 years with the Lord, which is our judgment.
Vi har 7 år med Herren, vores dom.
And the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Og lammets bryllup.
And given our reward.
Og vores belønning.
Our crowns in heaven.
Vores krone i himlen.
That will take 7 years.
Det kommer til at tage 7 år.
Then we come back with Jesus to the earth to defeat Satan and live for a thousand years his millennial reign.
Så kommer vi tilbage sammen med Kristus og lever i 1000 år. Bekæmper Satan, eller
we won't Satan. Know what the dead in Christ know now. We won't know that.
Vi kommer ikke til at vide det ting, som de døde i Kristus ved nu.
If we are raptured,
hvis vi bliver bortrykket.
You'll only know that bliss when you die.
Det ved du kun hvis du dør.
If it happens before the rapture, so I'm hoping I won't. In one sense, I want to experience it, but in another sense, I don't. It's a weird thing. When you understand it properly. Like Paul said it this way, man, for me to live is Christ, but to die is much better.
See, Paul said that for me at live is Christus, men at dø er endnu mere.
And it's a hard thing.
Det er en hård ting.
Because, I want to be there, but no, I don't, because I want to the rapture.
Jeg ønsker at være der, men
that's
nej,
why
jeg
God
ikke,
decides.
Lad Gud bestemme.
Yeah, I hope that answered your question. Paul's... Den gør vi. Yeah, no. But what happens when the trumpet blast sounds?
Det der sker når trompeten lyder.
The dead in Christ, those that are in heaven,
de døde i Kristus, dem der er i himlen,
come to the earth,
kommer til jorden,
get a new body,
får et nyt legeme.
And they go back up into the heaven, but while they're going up into heaven, the Bible says we are caught up with them. boom, in the twinkling of an eye, our body is changed.
Og så står der, at de bliver ført tilbage til himlen, og vi bliver ført med dem, og i et øjeblik bliver vores legeme også forandret.
And so us and them return back to heaven.
Sammen kommer til himlen.
That period of time,
den periode af tid,
is 7 years on the earth,
er 7 år på jorden,
where the Antichrist comes for 3.5 years, and then it's 3.5 years of hell.
Hvor Antichrist kommer 3.5 år, og så 3.5 års helvede på jorden.
That's where you read of all those judgments in Revelation.
Det er alle dommene i Åbenbaringsbogen.
But we will be with Christ in our physical, but perfect, never dying again bodies.
Men i 7 år er vi i himlen med Kristus i vores perfekte krop.
That is how we will be forever.
Og sådan vil vi være for evigt.
That is why during the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ,
og det er derfor, at under 1,000-årsriget,
we will reign with Jesus,
så vil vi herske med Jesus.
But we will not die.
Men vi vil ikke dø.
People will live, be born, get married, and will die.
Mennesker vil,
as they do now,
som nu, blive født,
during those 1,000 years.
I de 1,000 år.
But we will not.
Men vi vil ikke.
From that point on, we are like that, but forever.
På det punkt er vi sådan der, og så evigt.